Amy Russell interviewing Gladys Trenum Russell at her home in Maryville, Tennessee on February 25, 1995. The subject of this interview is her life in the Great Smoky Mountains before and when the government took the land to make the national park. Can you give me some background information on when and where you were born?
Well, I was born January the 8th, 1917, short distance out of Gatlinburg. And I lived there until I was age 16, and we moved to Pigeon Forge, our family. And at the location, there's a riding stable there now, and there, of course, our family cemetery on the place is still there, where my grandparents and great-uncles are buried. And, well, grandparents and great-grandparents, the fellow that first went there to make his home on that land. And you want to know about our home place and what it was like, a home life?
Yes, could you give me a day, a description of what it was like?
Well, I'll tell you a little bit about what our house was like. It was a white weatherboard, and better than some in the Smokies, because some of them had houses that were kind of little log cabins and weren't all that tight. Maybe they could cracks in the floor, or feed the pigs on the floor, or snakes would crawl in the house. I've heard of that up there, but ours was a white weatherboarded house, and two big rooms and a small middle room, and then an L on the side where the kitchen was located, and it was a good size kitchen. And there was a long front porch and a swing on each end of the porch, and then there was a back porch where we kept the water buckets and the wash pans. That's where you got washed up ready to eat, and a towel up there, and it's kind of a pocket thing with a mirror hung on the wall, and everybody used the same comb.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
Well, I have two brothers and two sisters, full brothers and sisters. My father's first wife died, and he had five children, and two of them were already married when his wife died. And my mother's first husband died, and she had three children. And my daddy's first wife, when she realized she was going to die, suggested to him that he marry my mother. And so he finally picked up nerve enough to go up into the community where she lived, and went with the excuse that he was going to look for some timber that my mother's father had, you know. And then her brothers joked. My mother was tall and slender, and her brothers joked then that to my father, Noah came looking for timber and found a sapling. So anyway, they knew each other before, you know. And of course, my daddy was almost 19 years older than my mother. But with his wife gone, and he had these boys at home, and it's understandable that
the age difference wasn't
all that much, because at one time my daddy was hauling lumber when the Pi Beta Phi school was, the settlement school was built there in Gatlinburg, and he was hauling lumber from an area up above his place there, and had to pass by his house on the way to Gatlinburg with his load of lumber. And he stopped in once, and the boys were outside playing, and a stick of wood had fallen off the fire onto the floor and had set the floor afire already. If he hadn't stopped, it would have been too bad there. So anyway, he needed a housekeeper and a wife. And of course, my mother had to, after her husband had died, had gone back to stay with her parents. Because living alone up there in the Sugar Lands at that time, up toward Newfound Gap, and it wasn't so far over the Indian Reservation, and some people still feared the Indians at that time.
The Cherokee.
Yes. Uh-huh. So she lived with her parents, and of course needed a home and support for her three children. So they were married, and so he had the five, his first wife. She had the three, and two of his already married. So when they got married, they honeymooned already with the six children. And then came along five of theirs then. So I'm the second of that five. So they had his, hers, and theirs.
So what were chores like?
Chores, well, everybody had chores to do. You didn't gripe about them either. You just got moving when you knew you were supposed to take care of certain chores. From the time you were small children, there was something you could help do, carry in water. We had to carry our water from quite a little distance down from across a little creek, a branch we called it, where a spring was located, and to the house. It was quite a distance to carry water, and then, of course, there had to be a stove wood carried in for the kitchen stove, and firewood carried in to use in the fireplace in our sitting room. And so there was always things like that, even the smallest ones would help do. And then with the, we grew most everything that we lived on. Just a few things they ever bought in the store, sugar and coffee, and only some of the adults drank coffee, so it wasn't, well, they buy coffee beans and we ground those into the coffee, but there wasn't much they ever bought in the store except buying materials to make dresses out of, and the boys, the men did buy overalls from the store already made, but most of them in those days, they're shirts were made at home. So my mother would carry chickens and eggs to the store down to Gatlinburg to buy some of those things that she needed. So
what about shoes? About
shoes. Shoes back then cost like $1.98. And my daddy did surveying and earned extra money that way, as well as maybe hauling some lumber, what they call tan bark, below Gatlinburg there. And he did some different things there to earn some money. But he was kind of tight with his money, so Mother pretty much tried to manage with when some of us need a pair of shoes. If she had to ask him for a couple of dollars to buy shoes, he'd kind of gripe about it. So she would try to save eggs and take chickens to the store to buy things that we needed, I guess.
Okay, yeah. What was the emphasis in the mountains on education?
Well, let's see, before we get into that, did you want me to go ahead and tell you more about what our house was like in everyday life there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, as I mentioned before, we had a white weather boarded house and the three rooms, two bigger rooms, and a little middle room that we in it. It wasn't really big enough for a bedroom and all, but we had two clothes presses. They're two cabinet type things. And my daddy's trunk. And there's where the shotgun stood in the corner in that middle room. And then in later years, my daddy made a stairway. He raised the ceilings in the house and made a stairway in that little room to make two bedrooms upstairs. So that was done, and that room was used for that.
Did your father build your house?
Yes, he built it when he was first married there, because he was moved to that place when he was just 2 weeks old. And the old house on our place was where his parents had lived. So he built the house, yes, that we lived in there. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned before, they had the long front porch and to swing on each end, and then well, there were 17 buildings in all on our home place in my grandfather's old log house. And we always just referred to it as the old house. That's where we stored the corn, and up in the upstairs attic part of it, we stored broom corn and walnuts and things like that. And we put, there was a big box in it where we put pork, meat, hams and shoulders and all when the hogs were killed, where they were kept there. And there was a big box that had corn sheller on the side of it, and a big salt barrel too, I remember, there in that old house. Sometimes I'd be sent from the kitchen with the container we kept salt in the kitchen. I'd have to get salt out of that big barrel. It was a great big hollowed out log that the barrel was made of, and of course had a lid to go over it. But sometimes if the salt was getting down low, I'd have to balance myself on top of that, and I was afraid I'd fall in it because it was a big thing. I remember that quite well, being sent after salt and being afraid I'd fall down in that big barrel. And those 17 buildings on our place, there was this old log house I'm talking about my grandpa lived in, and then our dwelling house, and smokehouse, the woodshed, and a kiln for drying apples and roasting ears. My daddy had built that. It had a big furnace underneath, and he raised up doors on the side, and it had these trays that just slipped in that were made of wire and dry apples, or he cut off roasting ears and dried the corn that way. Mm-hmm. See, people back earlier there didn't have the canning facilities that we had later, but we finally had fruit jars to can things in. Anyway, in addition to those buildings I already mentioned, there was two pig pens and two outside toilets. One of those was originally my half-brother's dark house that he used for developing pictures.
Didn't he find a camera?
No, he learned not that one. This is an older half-brother, and he had gone into service, and a army buddy had taught him photography. Mm-hmm. And so when he came back to the mountains there, he did some of that and had his own dark house. It would call it, and we always didn't just refer to it as a dark house then after that, even though it was a toilet. And a lot of the mountain people up there wouldn't have the pictures that they have today that are available today, and it's in that album. A lot of them my half brother made them, because they came back there from the service and went around through the community and made family pictures. Mm-hmm. And all. And so that was something we were happy to have. When he was making the pictures, the negatives were on glass. Because I remember when we moved out of the mountains, there was this big crate of negatives on glass. And foolish-like, and not knowing any better, we threw those off down the bank and broke them. And they would have been so valuable to keep for all these pictures. Of course, some of the family had copies of some of the pictures he had made, but that was a shame to have destroyed all those negatives. But, you know, that's one of those things that hindsight's better than foresight, or foresight's better than hindsight, whichever the saying goes. I just mentioned about our two toilets and using that dark house that he'd had there for a toilet. When it was made into one, they had three holes in it, and one of them had lined with sheep fur, and one was a lower one for children. So I was quite a fancy. It even had a heater in it that he had used. a little stove, in other words. Mm-hmm. You had to build a fire in. Nobody ever did that, of course, later. We had a garage for our 1921 Model T Ford, and two chicken houses, and the barn, and my pa's blacksmith shop.
Was it common for families to
have all that? No, not all that common. This is a little more than my daddy, you know, the family living there on the place as long as they did. He had built all these different ones. And of course there was a corn crib up in the upstairs part of it. It was where I used to make my playhouses. And then there was a spring house and a wash house, and then our grist mill down by the river where my daddy ground the corn meal for we had biscuits for breakfast, but the other two meals we always had cornbread. And quite often most often, really, more of the mountain people for their evening and their supper, we call it, the evening meal. Have a bigger meal at noontime. But for the evening meal, quite often a lot of the families would have the bread and milk for their supper. because they'd eaten a big meal at noontime, and I guess that's better than the big meal at night. Maybe some of us do now. As I mentioned earlier there, we grew most everything we ate, and we never went hungry, really. Because, in the summertime, we children, if we got hungry, we'd go in the warming closet over in our cook stove. There was always leftover cornbread. And we'd go out in the garden and pull up green onions, get us an onion and wash it, and eat on cornbread and onion. It was good to us then.